You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 95. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we've got a couple of topics. We're going to jump right into a tournament report, as such, from our weekend event here in San Diego. There were a couple of erratas just released as of this recording, so we'll talk about how that might have impacted the tournament scene, and looking ahead, what we're going to do about it. And finally, we're going to talk about the achievements that should be rolling out next year, and to help us out, we've abducted the chairman again. But like I said, let's start out with the tournament. Now, we had exactly 7 people, so I set aside and got some work done while you jumped in and played. How'd it go?
I had a blast. I tried a new deck that I had been thinking about, and I had a great time all 3 games. I went 1-1-1.
Okay, so experienced every possible outcome.
Exactly, I got every angle of it, and each game was as fun as the last. It did go downhill, which was unfortunate. I won and then tied and then I lost. But now when Thomas and I were driving back from Wani Nationals, we were talking about all manner of things. You know, 8 hours both ways.
Sure.
And at one point, it was like, you know, I really wish the holograms were as feasible in TUI. You know, we had like a Children of the Light or something. You know, there's the Alara, but there's no Magic Commander, and they came out with those infinite diversity holograms. But
right.
And Thomas is like, well, you know, I really think you could probably pull it off. There's enough out there. You know, it'd be you'd be stretched pretty thin, but you could probably do it. And I was like, really? So I came home and looked at it, and I was like, yeah, sure. So I pulled out Athos, which was every time I sat down, people groaned. but they were pleased to see that I was not playing Maquis. But that is a location where you can play plenty of Federation Treachery.
Right, the revised Voyager folks.
So I could, there's a whole slew of holograms, 6 in fact, that I could.
Not all of them have Treachery, though, do they?
No. 7 of 9 and Chakotay do not, but the other there's 8 of them, and the other 6 all have Treachery. And they actually figured pretty heavily into my deck. It wasn't, you know, they were about half the deck. They were the only ones I really had multiples of. I threw in 2 Sumex because he gets bigger with Federation. But I had pretty much one of all the rest of the non-aligned holograms because they all have skills and they're all interesting. I did 40-point missions with an Enterprise J because the attributes kind of suck on the holograms. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, I did kind of rely a little heavily on the future Voyager revised holograms. But, oh man, Harry Kim is a tank. As I told Thomas... it's ironic that the only time Harry Kim is the best card in your deck is when it's not really Harry Kim. He's essentially Garrick. You know, all the other revised guys say discard revised Tom Paris or Tom Paris to do something. You know, give everybody a stat or gain a skill or get a bump. However, Harry is discard any hologram to gain a skill on that hologram.
Oh, right on.
Until the end of the mission attempt and no limit.
You know, I thought you were going to say the only deck where Harry is the best card is a deck full of holograms.
that too. But it was kind of crazy. I got at least 2 attempts where, you know, my opponent was fairly confident that they had taken out my mission skills, so they didn't worry about the attrition factor, about me having attributes, and, you know, I dumped two, three, four, five cards from hand, and it's like, okay, that'll get me past the dilemma, and that'll get me past the mission solve.
Wow.
Yeah. Plus, he has some useful skills on his own. I was doing, you know, everybody's favorite 40-point space mission, Delphic Expanse.
Yeah.
The name is escaping me at the moment, but Astro Nav Security.
Sphere, Eliminate Sphere Network?
Yes, Eliminate Sphere Network. And, you know, discard some cards, and he's got it. They got the attributes. I threw in a Rudolph Ransom just for kicks.
Why not? Right?
Because why not? Treasury. Exactly.
I'm surprised he doesn't show up in more Mach-E decks.
Really? I mean, I did two 40-point missions so that I could have the cheap dilemmas and use the J as much as possible. And then for my Around the Corner mission, I used the other Delphic Expanse mission, the Future mission. You know, you have to have a future guy to solve, because that was pretty easy with my crew. And
all the advice people are future people, right?
Yeah, all of them have the future icons. So I was already going to be doing 125, 115 points of worth of mission, so I threw in some Endangered, Rudolph Ransom to lose some points. And
so you didn't even have any of the nucleogenic cards. You just used the
I just hey, you know what? I don't need the interrupts. Just lose some points, and I've got them to spare. You know, personal duty, Rudolph Ransom gets through. Two Voyager people are stopped. Lose 5 points. They rejoin the attempt.
Well, how often were you able to use him to just, you know, screw with your opponent?
I didn't want to get too heavily off the hologram theme. There were a couple of times where I was tempted to, you know, throw in more Mach-E cards or throw in more Voyager cards, and I tried to resist that temptation for the first round. So I only threw in the one Ransom. I only got him out twice, and I only used him once. But okay. It definitely made my opponent think twice.
Were you using like a hologram grid, holodeck grid, or something like that?
Holodeck grid lets you play to your ship, so you don't have to go home, which was nice. And not easily destroyed lets you discard a card to stop a hologram who's about to be killed by dilemma. So I at least twice I attempted planet first.
Oh.
And okay. I was like, bring on the necessary execution. Stop, you know, kill, stop, stop. And
that's amazing. You know, if you could combo the not easily destroyed with Ransom, you just let him stop your people, and then he just jumps in front.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
There are definitely a couple of changes I would make if I were playing again. Maybe another Ransom to have that be a bigger factor. Definitely another copy of Revised Tuvok. Go ahead and run all three, because I can pitch one to download a Voyager personnel that I'm missing, mm-hmm. or a hologram, Voyager hologram that I'm missing. The only problem with that deck was it's pretty short on leadership, so I had to rely on a few biologicals to get that out. There's basically Janeway and Cyrus Redblock.
I was gonna say, did you have what are the other, you know, kind of filler holograms? You have like a Leia Brahms and
I couldn't play Leia Brahms, but
that's right. Okay,
I had, you know, Mona Loves It and Dr. Freud, and I had three. I had a lot of security in the deck, so I had three calisthenics opponents.
Oh yeah,
they were nice and big. I had one of each of all of the ID guys with two Sumex. Quarkbot, yeah, automated server was nice. I went ahead and threw in the Aikido guy. He wasn't really, you know, aside from having strength 7 and being another security.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was nice, you know, plethora of guys, and you know, it was just fun. And
were you using Vic Fontaine?
I did not use Vic because I ended up, you know, he's 7-4-4.
Right, and that's not the attribute you're going for.
And that is not the attribute I'm going for. So by including him to get his shtick, it was really a wash.
Yeah.
Because I did a strength mission and a cunning mission. I even threw in, because I needed another ship, the really pain was getting the ship out so that I could play guys to it and not have to ferry back and forth, because aside from that ship, there's very, very little staffing. So even if you find all of the ships that only have one staffing icon are big stars. So I basically had to keep, you know, I had Ezri hang around for her big star so that I could have staffing for my little Maquis interceptor to run me around.
So if you didn't get the Alara out, you're kind of hosed.
Yeah, I had to wait for a biological person and another ship. I did kind of like, I used the Javert, which sort of has for the cause text on it.
Yes.
Only it lets you use it on any Fed mission instead of the demilitarized zone. So I actually used that on the siege of AR-558.
Right.
Which made it just, you know, it was only a little bit easier. It was like two less skills and two less attributes, but it was enough to make it much better for my guys.
Yeah, and you had plenty of security running around for that. Was the security leadership treachery?
Yeah. And unfortunately, I only threw in one cal so I could download the ship, but I forgot that you had to have, I had three of the ships, and you have to have him on the ship to get that bonus. So I would throw in more cals.
Right, the cal that's a matching commander isn't the one that lets you fetch a ship, is it?
Yeah, he is.
Eh?
I think so. I'd have to check. Oh, that would be. Well, that would suck too. I'd have to get it backwards. Well, anyway, there's a couple of kinks to work out, but it was a fun deck. It's been a long time since I played a 2E deck that I would want to leave together and play again, and no matter how well or poorly it does, and that's definitely one of them. That was just so much fun that I'm going to make a few tweaks and totally bring it back for just to have around for fun play.
Were you, for skill cheating, were you using, well, obviously cluttering, were you also using like a shady resources since you had so much treachery?
I didn't do that because I didn't think about it.
You get skill cheating on Harry, too. So.
Yeah, I was mostly thinking about, I had Arandis in my deck, mostly to get the ship, but if I needed it to get Harry, Tuvok downloads Harry, and so I mostly had Harry. I even threw an ETU in just in case I didn't have my not easily destroyed. So my main goal was keep Harry alive, unstopped, and use him as a skill cheater. I had three clutterings in there just in case. I was able to pitch a revised doctor to download an interrupt, so I almost always had a cluttering in my hand.
Interesting. Did you use the Equinox doctor or the revised doctor?
Both.
Nice.
Because I could.
That's a lot of cunning.
It is, yeah. 15 between the two of them, and I can lose 5 points to keep somebody alive if I really need to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what did you see on the board as an opponent?
Well, I was very pleased to see Matt won the day. He went undefeated with one of my favorite decks of all time, with one exception. His new goal seems to be 2 weeks in a row now. He's played a deck where I've been really proud of him for playing that deck, and with the exception of a single card that sullies the honor of using it. having the Mott in the cadets, the really clever cadets deck last week. This week he went with the dissidents, the combo Cardassian Romulan, you know, PNP Kira Ileana Gamor, you know, get 5 points, lose 5 points, download three dissidents. Probably one of the decks I've done best with ever at a high level event. I haven't played it in a few years, and there's been some. I think the last time I played it was when the Vulcans came out. The Vulcan Dissidents, which are, you know, they are tanks themselves.
Was he running it with 40-point missions?
He was running it with 40-point missions. He was running it with the new Romulan, the Bird of Prey, the past one. So if you have, it's like range plus one for each personnel that costs four or more on it. So, you know, he was flying all over the quadrant. And I was like, I'm trying to think of what else. He got things going really fast. I was really familiar with the deck, so I didn't pay too much attention to what was going on.
So this is the typical, you get Kira out, you lose 5 points, and you just play people to Romulus and Cardassia?
Yep.
Okay.
I did manage to get an Instigate Dissension out against him.
Nice. How long did it last before he was able to play anybody?
Just a turn, but you know,
it's still stopping two and not going under.
It is, and it's stopping two. It's not going under, and if you read it, you have to have the three people in your hand at the end of your turn. to get to make it go away. So it's not only can you not, you know, do you have to build up your hand, you also can't play them. You know, he was he could still use Kira because it's play, not place.
Sure.
But you know, the more he did that, the less Romulans he was going to have to draw to get rid of it.
That's awesome.
So he hung around, and he had just used Kira to get two Cardassians that he already had in play, just in case they went away. And he kept those in his hands. Like, well, okay, I know you've got two Cardassians in your hand, so let's put this on Romulus.
Nice.
But it in the end, it really didn't make much of a difference. He had so many skills and so many attributes. And, you know, I had my maxi big dilemmas, and they went off twice. And it didn't matter because, you know, the armies just kept coming.
Wow.
And as I recall...
Was that your loss?
That was my loss. That was how I won with that deck. When I played it was, you know, you just get decimated against kill dilemmas, but you have so many people that
you know,
doesn't matter. They just keep coming out. And the more you kill them, the more I can play them. Because you have, you know, multiple copies and optimism. And no, it was really well constructed. He had good missions and he played it well. It was good. He went undefeated on the day.
And what moral objection did you have with his deck?
I was not pleased with his Dreamer in the Dream, since it came at a point where I had everything I needed. I was like, all right, I play this one card and I can go do stuff, and it all went away.
Wow! All right,
but I've never been a huge fan of that card. I think it's just an NPE card, and you know, unless you're actually playing a discard deck, it's just annoying. But yeah, go Dissonance. I even managed to pull off a tie against TK, mostly because of a D-staff against his sphere on his first attempt. Like eight attempted and five died.
Wow.
So that gave me time to wait out, you know, play a few more people and go and do a serious attempt.
Were you playing a kill pile or what?
Not really. I was
playing your normal.
I was playing I played a bit slimmer 40-point mission dilemma deck, but he kept hitting this. You know, I kept hitting the small people, the Borg drones, with those. You know, if you have people who cost less than this amount, you know, all these people are stopped, or some of these people are killed, and I managed to stop all his small people and then hit him with a first duty. So, you know, he had no honor, no law.
Okay.
And killed somebody. And then I had enough events that I could run the maxi big dilemmas, the 8 cost dilemmas, for those who do not get the San Diego vernacular. And, you know, hit 3 more on a different attempt. So I only threw them in because I was running plentiful events, and it just happened to come up with a lot of kills against him.
Very good. Well, our congratulations to Matt for running the table in a short short day. Well played. Do you know who else he played? He played Thomas and
played,
Johnny.
He played Thomas and he played TK and Johnny.
Wow, that is certainly a worthy.
He ran the gamut.
A lot of opponents, yeah.
Although I will give props, I want to give props to TV for playing Dominion and playing it well. He only lost to me because he could not draw a ship, but he was running he runs Vorta like nobody's business. I don't think anybody runs them as well as he does. It's crazy. It was 40-40 after like 10 minutes. Because I refused to. I think I've probably contributed to him not drawing a ship because I wouldn't let him download any Jem'Hadar with his was it gunboat diplomacy. Whenever you play a Vorta, both players score 5 points, or he gets to download a Jem'Hadar, and it's my choice.
Okay.
So
You just kept drawing cards?
I just let us score points because I wanted to be able to spend points. I had a couple endangers out early.
That's right, and you got ransom.
I got ransom. It's like, hell yeah, I'm going to sit here and score points until I have enough points to have them to spend and get a two-mission win. And his deck was chock full of Jem'Hadar that were not getting downloaded, which made it harder for him to draw a ship. So... But he the only reason I snuck by him with the win was because he had so much dilemma manipulation, and I managed to make him run through his events. But he had he kept uninvited for a issue of trust or any one thing that would stop me as I got down to attempting with seven and there were six under, then he finally went and attempted with a huge crew, and I managed to get in my giant pile of dilemmas. Swashbuckler. So his five interrupts in his hand went back on top, and I was able to have a turn to go and attempt unmolested for my last mission.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I believe the final standings were Matt, and then... Well, help me out.
Matt? I actually don't know. And then all I know is I...
Matt, Johnny, and then TK.
I tied the coin. TK and I like true tied, right. in our game and in everything else, strength of schedule or whatever.
For third place.
We basically coin flipped for third and fourth, and I lost.
If I went by total points scored, he would have had you.
You had that. I believe that.
Because you lost your game versus Matt by 0-100, and he scored points in every game, but. Also, thanks to James for coming out for the first time in forever.
Yeah, good to see him and have more people out.
Yeah, time we'll get that eighth person and I'll jump back in.
Nice full game of Tribbles.
Yes. He'll take the front, and hell, I'll take the back there when we blow. That's why. I'm a Star Trek man. So there was a CRD released as of this recording day. Have you had a look at it?
I have not. There is an errata?
Four of them.
Four?
Yeah. Two of them are kind of the same. The two rituals are now unique.
That I cannot argue with. I had three of each in my deck this weekend, and it made those, Sulkovsky and Whispers just disgusting.
Yeah, I think that's has really caused a comeback of those dilemmas, at least for me. I mean, don't play with a lot of events, but when they're free and they replace themselves, it's kind of hard not to.
Exactly.
The only reason I wouldn't play with them if I was playing... I didn't put them in my Equinox deck, my virtual Equinox deck, because I just was trying to get it slimmer. I guess it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. Replace them, but... I really had to get over that mental block of, I really don't want these extra cards in my deck, but they're really not extra cards in your deck.
Yeah. I think when I was playing a Brunt deck, I left them out because I didn't want to have the events in my core.
Sure.
But now they're unique, so you really got to think about whether or not you want to put three of them in your deck.
Well, I'm glad I got to use them while I did.
I mean, I probably would still, since, as you say, if you can get over the mental block, there's no reason not to use it.
At least one of each. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it replaces itself. It doesn't let your opponent set up a dilemma pile, either yours or theirs.
They were really useful against TK this weekend. I had two Klingons out, and Klingon Tree Ritual, which is what the CRD says here that I'm looking at.
Yes.
At least the isn't it Klingon Tea Ritual?
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's okay. They're Klingon trees.
I'm sure there are, maybe. He had
Targwood.
Multiple quintessences going at once. And was like, okay, we'll put that back on top of your deck and let me know if you still want to discard for it.
Wow. All right. The other one, the tree ritual was, which one did that do?
That's the reshuffle dilemmas.
Yeah, that's the one I liked.
That's always good.
It kind of shuts down things like
temporal incursion,
exactly,
and other shenanigans.
The next on the list is Sabotage Transporter. Now, I know you've been a fan of Sabotage Transporter for quite a while.
I have. I've used it quite effectively for a long time. I love my four-cost or more Klingon Counselor deck.
So did you ever use it to, let's say you play a dilemma that says you need to stop somebody or somebody's randomly killed? So you play the, not personal duty, command decisions, right? I choose a leadership to be stopped. Then you say, okay, Sabotage Transporter, he's killed. And since you didn't stop someone,
someone else
dies.
Yes. Wow, that's lame.
Yes, well, that's what it used to do, and they fixed that.
Wow, no, I never did that. I used mine in earnest. That's... I've never been a fan of the using a card for the letter of it rather than the spirit of it, which is why I always hate the tragic turn, either or piles. It's like, well, I know this dilemma was meant to stop somebody or kill somebody, but because there's a period between these sentences, if somebody is stopped and now somebody else is stopped. And then somebody's killed, and so somebody else is killed. I always thought that was total BS. So, no, I did not sabotage transporters on somebody who stopped and then killed.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that it's no longer possible.
Good.
Apparently, the text now says something to the effect of the text triggers when the personnel is actually stopped, not when they're about to be stopped.
Yeah. Well,
so
it's...
once they're stopped, you've paid your dues, and you can't get hosed.
It's good enough that you don't need it. You shouldn't need it to do that. That's just cheesy.
So you liked it before, you like it after?
Yeah, I would still use it.
Okay.
I still do use it.
I look forward to it.
Ah.
The last on the list is Sean Hawkins. Sean Hawkins previously made Secret Identity into I rip off my mask and now I'm two people. Because he prevented you losing command of someone.
Oh, so, wow.
Did you fall victim to that at all?
I did not. That's kind of funny.
I know the damage starfleet just kind of came that week, and everyone was playing it, and then it went away.
Yeah, I missed that week.
And it I knew about it, so I didn't do it on purpose. I might have done it on accident once or twice, but so now he says, when you know it's like a Mako. When if you're gonna lose, somebody's about to die, you can stop him and somebody else.
Right.
That sounds much better to me.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
So I don't know how much of an effect this would have had on the tournament. No one was playing Starfleet, but a lot of people were playing the Plentiful Rituals, so that probably would have slowed that down a little bit.
Yeah, I think that would have made me replay a few dilemma combos.
Certainly, yeah. I did bring a deck in case I could play. A fellow named it was by Baron Morath on the chat room had sent me a link. Weeks ago when I said I was kind of drawing a blank, and it's this dilemma pile was like 22 cards, and it was the slimmest thing I've ever seen, but a couple I think it used one of each of the or maybe two of each of the 8 costers, so I'd have to make a change to that if I wanted to bring it, but I think overall it's a plus. No change to Legacy. What do you think about that?
I missed your devastation of everybody when you came and just crushed everybody with your Legacy Dilemma Pile. So I really haven't seen it. It's super powered. I guess I feel
well,
a little
Matt was
bit...
running it. Did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I fell victim to it. You mean this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he never played it on me. I never got hit by it.
I'm thinking of last weekend, that's right.
Yeah, last week it didn't affect me so much with the Legacy part of it, so much as it was the skill dilemma, because he built his deck for Legacy to have all the skill dilemmas. I was playing Damage Starfleet. So
right.
Archer, who was the the tank of the deck, is completely useless.
Yeah.
The deck was still, decent and fun to play, but so I've felt the sting.
Yeah, I know a lot of groups hate it to pieces, and a lot of groups are indifferent. Or like it because they haven't been brutalized by it, and I find myself wondering if more people played it around here, if we'd have a different opinion other than eh.
Yeah, I think it's like anything meta related, it becomes something that, you know, if that phase sweeps your playgroup, you start teching against it, and the problem sort of mitigates itself. I think because so many groups are playing it at the same time right now, then the buzz is a little bit more. But, you know, people didn't really like overwhelmed when it came out either, except for the people who were playing it. And, you know, it's a choice. You build your dilemma pile around that. That certainly the skill dilemmas are less powerful than the non-skill dilemmas right now, which is why this sort of meta shifting card is out here. I mean, I don't know if it's going to create such a severe shift that people are going to completely go away from things like, you know, agonizing encounter and, you know, even something as simple as pin down to just, you know, attritionize. But I don't know. I'm still in the middle ground about it. I think you did exactly the right thing when you sweeped everybody with it at the tournament, reading the meta, knowing everybody was going to play something like Starfleet. But I've got skill dilemmas in my deck, and you know, if you happen to pull one a legacy with your two draws,
sure.
And I've probably got just as good a chance at getting two as you do. So
yeah, and I feel like I just don't have enough experience with it to make a statement, but
yeah.
you either alter your dilemma pile a little bit and take out, you know, you can't play half non-skill dilemmas anymore, or you put something in your deck like a Bridge Officer Test to, because you know it's coming
to get past. I mean, it is its own, you know, anti-meta.
There are multiple ways around it.
In that, yeah, it falls victim to all of the things that stop that type of card.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I think it was designed to and has changed the environment as much as, you know, Necessary Execution did. You know, everyone was going to Planet because that was the safest way to go.
Exactly.
And that card came out, and people said, "Whoa, let's change the way we do things." And same as this, I think it's just kind of making a shift, and you just gotta adapt to it and move on.
Yeah, we'll let it play for a couple of months and see what happens. I think things.
Yeah. Like I said, I could be wrong. It could be wholly overpowered, and everyone could be playing it. You know, we'll see.
We'll get a much stronger litmus on it once it's been out there a little longer, I think.
Very well. Then, speaking of looking to the future,
yes,
next year, the contingent committee.
I gotta say, it's funny that this is happening now, because as we are recording this, in no less than 3 hours, is the release of the new World of Warcraft expansion, Cataclysm.
Oh, do I hear a cold coming on?
No, I am not feeling very well. I think I might have to not go to work tomorrow.
I believe that you would.
I've got a fever, and the only cure is more Warcraft. The achievements.
Yeah. So you're obviously as a Warcraft player. I'm not. I've never partaken of a game that really has this achievement thing. But it sounds like as you progress down your tournament and other things. If you accomplish something like, it sounded like they were as simple as put your shipping information into the database. You unlock things like those little, I don't know, little pictures or whatever that are going to be on your profile somewhere.
Which is, you know, that's funny, and it's like, I remember when achievements came out in World of Warcraft, and it was like, so let me get this straight. If you do something bizarre, then a little light shows up when you do it, and that's it. It gets marked on your achievement list, and now you can say that you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Really? That's it? That's the whole thing? And you know, of course, it catches on, and you're like, oh, well, I gotta, you know, there are sets of achievements, and when you complete a whole set, you get a title, and it's just like, wow. So it's the old adage. It's like, well, if you can't give somebody a raise, you can give them a title. And that'll make them feel more important. And that's really what achievements feel like to me. I think it's hilarious. And I love I mean, I have well, a, I have
do,
that collector.
Do you chase them in game?
I totally chase them in game. you know, I'm not as crazy as some people. There's like ones that are super hard to get that you really have to just are some are complete happenstance. Some are really crazy hard to get within raids. And some of them are as simple as, you know, explore the entire world, which isn't hard, but it's time consuming.
Okay, sure. That's what it sounded like. You play it. I think I want to say I said something about play. You know, Bajorans in tournament. Play Bajorans in five tournaments. Win a tournament with Bajorans. Win five tournaments with Bajorans.
Yeah, and there are successive ones like that.
Yeah,
and all I right, you know. Well, we kind of had, I mean, they're a little less general than the ones I'm looking at this article now that you mention it. But, you know, we had something similar to achievements within Spatial Rifts a few years ago.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the idea. We called them objectives.
Okay.
And it was sort of a, I guess just something to get to spice things up because particularly during the stretch where I think it was before Strange New Worlds came out.
That was
a huge stretch where almost over a year where there was no new product and we you know really had to keep people interested in playing. And it was like, okay, well, you know, you get victory points to win the tournament, but you also get Spatial Rifts points, you know, for doing things. We've explained this before on the show. And so... Right. As another way of earning Spatial Rifts points, you could complete objectives. And we had a list of objectives for each affiliation. Like if you're playing Ferengi, you know, score at least 20 points with Tongo or, you know, something like that's like a simple example. I don't remember if that was ever actually one or, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like the system will be able to handle something that very specific, but perhaps, you know, playing a Ferengi deck with, well, there's no Latinum in this game either. I don't know.
But it would be interesting to see something more affiliation-specific like that. But I like that there's, you know... Well, this one said, you know, win a tournament with Bajorans with all your personnel has treachery. That's sounds like it comes right out of our objectives.
Yes. Yes, it does.
It's a very, the circle.
Right. Well, we happen to have someone here, so perhaps you can set us straight on a few of these things. Mr. Chairman, are you conscious?
Barely, but yes.
Very good. Well, how did we do so far describing this thing?
You did good. The type of thing that you're talking about requires some of the stuff that, you know, your Spatial Rifts idea was one of the... not an inspiration for this system, obviously. It really draws from World of Warcraft and Xbox Live, but lots of leagues were doing fun little things like that. And we thought, well, that'd be a really cool thing if we could globalize that and turn it into a sanctioned system. Unfortunately, the level of granularity that we can take it is really limited to game results. You know, it'd be really neat if you could have achievements that were, you know, like hit a Romulan ship with Gomtu at investigate sighting. You
know, that would be cool.
That would be something that would be really amazing to do as an achievement. You just, you know, we don't have a way to track that other than, you know, a checkbox. You know, a tournament director could report, well, this happened, but that's not, you know, that's not fun. It's a lot of work and, you know, there's abuse potential in there. Not that anybody would, but so we're limited by that. But the idea is to
something, you know, I guess it sounds like things that can be verified by tournament results and deck builder.
Yeah, pretty much. Anything that can be done automatically, I mean, that is what we're like, looking at right now.
Yeah. You know, if you input a deck in deck builder that has a Bajoran, you know, a Bajoran deck with all treachery and add that deck to a tournament where you win, then you can trigger that achievement.
Yeah, I mean, World of Warcraft can do things like, you know, don't hit, you know, don't hit any, don't stand in the fire when during this boss battle, because they can track that stuff. We can't do that kind of things. Right. But we're looking to start the system somewhat small and then expand it every chance we get. In fact, we're going to have somebody, you know, the achievement guru, whose job is pretty much, you know, answering questions about achievements and making sure the achievements are working and then adding new ones regularly. So once we get it up and running, we will be constantly adding new achievements to the system. But the main goal here was the fact that not everybody who plays is competitive and cares about their ratings or cares about their win percentage, but they care about playing and having fun. And the system is designed to reward you in a different way than win-loss record and ratings points. You know, by encouraging creative thinking, or even just, you know, the one you mentioned was, you know, play. There's an achievement. The example that I put out here is I'm a Romulan player, and it's play in a sanctioned tournament with a Romulan deck, and you can get that in first edition or second edition. Doesn't matter. If you play in a tournament and you have a Romulan deck in the system and you link it to the tournament, boom, you get that achievement. Nice. It only happens once, but, you know, that's fine. The next one up is your Romulan Victor, which is win a sanctioned tournament or event with a Romulan deck. Then there's another one. I'm a Romulan regular. Play in 5 tournaments with Romulan decks. It doesn't have to be the same deck. You can... And the definition of the deck is, I think it's 65 or 70% of your personnel have to be that affiliation for it to count.
So you could play 2 headquarters?
You could play 2 headquarters if the majority of them was Romulans. Although I'm not sure a 2 headquarters deck would count as a Romulan deck. We have separate achievements for 2 headquarters decks.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
You know, there's a dual master achievement, which is... play a 2 headquarters deck. There's triple, which is play a 3 headquarters deck. And these are just the ones we have 200 or so already written and ready for the system, just based on what we did brainstorming. But
so there was some thought, question about programming debate about, is this going to be using past results? I mean, for example, have I unlocked achievements already?
There's some debate on whether or not we will do that. I know that some of our programmers think it would be a lot easier if it was retroactive. Some of our non-programmers think it would be cleaner if the system started on a certain date and proceeded from that point forward. It's really going to come down to whatever is easier for the programmers and easier for everybody to understand. And everybody's a volunteer here, so if it's going to take 6 weeks to get it done going back to the first day, and it's going to take 6 months to get it done as of, you know, July 1st, 2011, I think it would probably be better just to have it sooner and go back. Now, there will obviously be some safeguards in place, so you can't just go back and add decks to random tournaments that have already happened.
All right.
And get achievements for them. It'd probably be like a grace period where if you don't add your deck to a tournament within so many days, that tournament's locked, so you can't go back and fiddle with the system. But I honestly can't answer the question yet until we get our programmers really into getting this written and up and running. So
I have a question from the chat room. Will there be physical rewards and prizes for achievements?
That's definitely something that we're looking at. We have, if you play World of Warcraft, you know that you get achievement points, which is just a numerical value when you earn an achievement. And it's sort of it's a way for people to brag about how awesome they are, but it really doesn't mean anything other than the number of achievements that you've earned. Generally they're all like 10 points, but some of them are more points because they're really difficult. All of our achievements will have points, but they don't do anything yet. But we've talked about down the road having a special section on the promenade where you can redeem points for decipher foils or skill buttons or virtual foils. We've talked about having certain achievements. Like there's an achievement in the system right now called Farseeing Eyes, which you've played in 25 tournaments with Romulans. Wow. Obviously that's, you know, that's a lot of, if you, even if you're playing weekly, that takes almost,
yeah,
takes six months to do, playing Romulans in some form or another. But we've talked about having a special prize be you earn that achievement, and a couple days later in the mail, you get maybe a virtual AI Sela card or Tomalek or something. We're not committing to any of this yet because we really need to get this up and running and make sure the system works and make sure that, you know, it's not going to be an overwhelming amount of work for you, Dan, or our shipping department. But I definitely think there is some potential for having physical prizes associated with some of the higher end achievements, or being able to redeem your points for achievements, for prizes. I guess the point is there's a lot of potential here.
Sure.
For doing all sorts of stuff. Once we get the basics up and running, you know, we can see what we can do.
Well, this would be a huge driver towards tournaments, since that seems like where most of the achievements are going to come from, right?
Yeah, although we do have some plans for non-tournament ways to earn achievements, because we do realize that not everybody can go to tournaments. You know, and so some of them, obviously, there are deck builder achievements. You know, post the deck in the deck builder. That's an achievement. There you go. You got some points for never even having to set foot and play a physical game. You know, have one deck for every headquarters mission in your deck builder. That's another achievement you can earn. But most of these points are going to be coming from tournaments, yeah. So it hopefully will drive tournament frequency and tournament attendance up. And I won't lie, one of the reasons we're trying to do this is to incentivize people to put their decks in the deck builder, too. So
that sounds like a great idea, and I like the it's very tiered for. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of overlap with Trek players and WoW players, and the way things are sort of tiered in that sort of, you know, you start, you know, like you were saying, play a Romulan deck, win with a Romulan deck, play a Romulan deck five times, win with a win a tournament with a Romulan deck, and so on. The sort of play Romulans 25 times is a little contrary to our sort of local philosophy with the spatial rifts idea. Is there going to be something for the, play all of the affiliations or play all the headquarters decks or combinations?
Yeah. I don't remember what we called it, but hang on. I pulled out certain ones to spoil for you guys, and you're asking me questions about other ones. That's ridiculous.
Sorry about that.
No, it's fine.
No. Where's my agonizer? Answer the question.
There is an achievement for diversity too. There's nice. One, I can't remember what it's called, and forgive me, and I can't find it right now. But yeah, there's one for playing with. I think I mentioned it in one of the Make It So podcasts. But 15 down and none to go, I think, is what it's called. Where
right. Thank
you play with every headquarters mission and no headquarters mission at least once. And so then there would be another one on that would be like, well, win with everybody. Yeah. And there's first edition equivalents too, where it's like play every affiliation in first edition. There are first edition specific achievements. You know, all the KCA stuff will only be able to get in first edition games. There are second edition specific achievements. There are combined achievements too. So stuff you can earn in either edition. There is actually one of the achievements I have marked to be as a spoiler is called the Best of Both Worlds, which is play in 5 first edition events and 5 second edition events. So,
it's neat. It sounds like there's the potential for overlap with the little banners that you get for playing in a high level event. Is there like a, you know, play in Worlds 2010 achievement? I guess 2010 will be a little bit late. 2011?
We would do that if ultimately the goal is to tie all of these separate systems that we have kind of running around the message boards into this master system. So if we rolled the badges into the achievement system, you know, so they were automatic, like the tournament system right now assigns the badges. If we moved them to achievements, then yeah, there would have to be achievements for, you know, play in Worlds 2011, semifinalists in Worlds 2011, mm-hmm. to give you the different badges. Those type of achievements, those, you know, only one chance to earn it achievements, those would never come with physical rewards or point values. So that if you can't go, you don't get penalized. I mean, in a way, I mean, if you're a completist, it's going to drive you crazy because you're never going to have that achievement. But in World of Warcraft, they're called feats of strength. They're cool things that you've done, but they're not actually point value, and they don't give you any special titles or special rewards other than the graphic badge on your forum account. So
cool. Well, that definitely sounds like it'll be something new and interesting to have, you know, encourage people to play. I would. A small part of me is a little concerned about the mass, the really heavy duty mass achievements with like the, you know, play Romulan every day for a year. What might tempt people away from playing something new? And just like, yeah, no, I'm sorry I keep playing this deck, but I got to get the achievement. But hopefully the same incentive of, you know, playing something different each week or playing...
You got to think long-term. You got to figure that you're going to get all the multi-affiliation, all the different affiliation achievements at once. After 10 years, you just rotate through, and eventually you get them all.
Well,
right. You know,
that is an exaggerated case, but we do have to plan. I mean, how you guys play, what, twice a month?
Yeah.
So you play 24 tournaments a year, probably a couple extra ones here and there.
Yeah.
So say you play 30 tournaments a year, you'd have to dedicate an entire year to one affiliation in your guys' area to get that. And
yeah.
And maybe this is the thing, and this is why we want to have an achievement guru. Maybe 25 is too many.
Yeah, because I don't want to go.
Maybe nobody's earning it. So what we'll do is we'll say, okay, starting March 1st, we're lowering this to 15. So, you know, you'll know ahead of time, oh, okay, it's only going to be 15 or only 10 to get that achievement now. You know, there's a line to walk between it being too easy and it being too hard.
Yeah.
And right. if it's too easy, we're sending out, you know, 50 foils a month and Dan's ready to shoot me and you know, it doesn't mean anything. If it's too hard, no one will put the time in to try to get it. So, you know, we have to try to walk that line and look at the statistics. And, you know, one of the things we're going to do is once we get the system up and running and before we go public with it is run it on the database back to day one and see, okay, well, you know, some of these achievements, you know, the harder achievements, we might only want 10% of the community to ever get. Right. You know, in theory. And then if we run it and oh, look, well, 35% of the people already have this one. OK, well, that's too easy. If we want one to be, you know, half the community is getting and three people have it. OK, that's too hard. So there'll be some adjustment period where we're balancing things out here and there. But we want it to be fun and encourage you to do different things. And we don't want it to be work. Where you feel like you have to go to a tournament and work to get these. So.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, we laugh about it, but I certainly, you know, I certainly don't want to come to 25 tournaments in a row while somebody's trying to get the Maquis achievement.
Oh, Jesus.
And I don't think you do either.
No, certainly not.
But let me tell you, you'd certainly find every different possible way of playing Maquis.
You know what I don't want? To ever do that.
Yes.
Or be affected by that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
I got a couple other achievements I can spoil for you guys if you're interested, if you still have some time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have one called Rivalry, which is defeat the same player in three consecutive sanctioned tournaments or events.
Oh man.
And there's a whole chain of these called bounties. and that's one of them. So there's a whole sequence where
PvP
you can set up rivals, people. Yeah, PvP. So another one is it's called Three Wise Men, and it is defeat the chairman, a head judge, and a lead designer in sanctioned terms.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
So and obviously that doesn't apply to specific people.
That's a feat of strength right there.
That is, well, that's a fun one. I mentioned the best of both worlds, you know, playing in five first edition and five second edition tournaments. We've got tribbles achievements too that we'll put in. Now my favorite ones are the I call them deck design challenge achievements, where they ask, you know, the circle is one of them. Build a Bajoran deck where everybody's got treachery.
I think those I find are the most interesting to me.
There's one called Before the Queen, which is win a tournament using a Borg deck without using any Borg Queen.
Interesting.
And I think that would be easier in second edition than first edition, but it's certainly possible.
Oh, no, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's one for every headquarters or affiliation. The other one that I have for you is called Good Things in Small Packages, which is win a tournament with a Deep Space Nine deck using only Danube-class ships.
Nice. Run about.
I mentioned one with the podcast with Chris where, you know, they play a Klingon deck with no Klingon ships. So
yeah,
we're going to do fun, interesting achievements like that.
I think
those are the bread and butter of the system, I think. So,
now, are you going to have ones that are not automated that you just that'd be so infrequent that you could just hand code occasionally?
I definitely think that there might be a possibility for doing that. Things like you know, retired volunteers and stuff.
Okay,
might be a good place for that. I don't want to rely on hand entering achievements, but I think it might be nice to have that.
You know, something like I don't know, appear on a CCG podcast, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we could do that. The one that actually occurred to me the other day was collect all 23 second edition skill badges.
Dude.
Nice.
And that would require, you know, verification.
Yeah.
But then it could be given out, so
I'm gonna have to start trading.
So I have high hopes for this system. It's something I've wanted to do for years, and I'm glad that we're finally at the point where we could put this in. I think it's really going to be good for the community and good for the games. It'll really get people playing different stuff and looking at different ideas and innovating. So, not to mention getting a ton of decks put in the system, which is an amazing thing in and of itself. So.
Excellent. Well, that definitely sounds like a good way to kick off the new year, and hopefully most of our Resident WoW players will get their Cataclysm rush in December, so that we can come into January and start earning some Trek achievements.
Very good. Well, I believe that signifies the end of our intelligence.
Indeed. We have definitely covered everything that we've got to cover this week, and we will probably have a week off this week to geek out. We have the traditional Ryson Geek Holiday Festival this week, so we will not really have any intelligence to report next week, but in 2 weeks we will have some 1E reports for you, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll give a customary shout-out to TK for putting the show together, our producer, and Warp 11 for lending us their fantastic music. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
That was the Chairman Charlie. Thanks for stopping by and enduring the Agonizer once again. And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
95 cards is probably the biggest deck that I've ever made, and I will draw them all today. And that's why. Star Trek band!